Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report. Damien Fleming and bad boy Bubby Hodge joins us again this week. Hodgy, thanks for joining us. Big week. We can talk about the Aussies. Fantastic win over there in Perth. The Big Bash has started. There's records getting broken in the Women's Big Bash League. But interesting, I've been perusing your LinkedIn profile. And I notice it's been very quiet this week. And then I'm hearing some little rumours around the BBL traps that you may, in fact, be playing in the Big Bash this year. Is that correct?
Well, LinkedIn...
Confirm or deny?
No, it's... I confirmed that I was asked to play.
A new club? Because we want you to play for all eight clubs.
It was an old club, actually.
Old club. So that, that breaks it down.
It was actually two old clubs. So...
Okay.
Look, there was a few injuries. One was at the Renegades.
Yep.
So my mate Ronnie sort of asked me a few weeks ago whether I'd be interested.
How about it?
And I said, not really. and then the Melbourne Stars after Nick Madison broke his finger and also his wrist, sorry, and also then Sebastian Gotch was out injured as well.
Did they want you to wicketkeep?
They didn't mention about that. It was only if Ben Dunk. I said I could possibly do it. Like I did it in under 12s when I opened the bowling and then took the gloves at half time. So I said it's in me. But then, I kindly, didn't accept the invitation as well.
But in the end, did you think, okay, I've had my time.
Yeah.
I'm working on Seven Cricket's Big Bash League and I'd rather actually put all my focus into being a commentator.
Well, that wasn't the case, actually. I ran into Mitchell Johnson during the Adelaide test and I told him about it. And I said, you know what, Mitch, I reckon I've just got to the case where I'm a fraction scared than what I used to be. And he goes, dodgeball, you were scared about 4 years ago. And I said, of you, buddy, I was absolutely shit scared. So that's fair enough. And he's
pulled the pin too. He had another year.
And I said, you were just scared of me, buddy. That's why you're out of there.
And what did he say then?
He said, I'm pretty sure I rock and rolled your poles last time at the Etihad Stadium there or the new Marvel Stadium. And he was correct.
He's been chatting to us a bit, Mitchie Johnson, in the last week because I don't think he was a listener of the Bowlology Report, but I think through the social media self-promoter traps, he's hearing that we've been smashing him. So we will be talking about MJ a bit later on. But things you need to know in cricket this week. Fantastic win for the Aussies. You know, the first test match, it was a real rear guard action at the end. The tail almost got Australia home. But India would have been unlucky to lose that first test match. They were the dominant team. But in Perth, the Aussies won by 146 runs. And the first person I want to talk about is actually the captain, Tim Payne.
Yep.
You know, he's resolved with the bat in both innings. You know, he builds partnerships without getting a big score himself. He's classy wicket-keeping. You know, talking to Justin Langer, I think the biggest surprise about Tim Payne is how good his keeping is. Now, you know, the level of that has surprised the Australian coach. And then also his leadership. Standing up to Kohli, not only that, leading by example. So is this the test match where the Australian public have actually found out about the real Tim Payne and fallen in love with him?
Well, I think it's exactly what the public have been looking for. I mean, we were at the test in Adelaide there, and I think in that particular match as well, they showed the public exactly what they represented, and we got beat, but we showed some fighting spirit.
Which is attributes they want.
Yeah, and in this test, I reckon they just carried on that class. and they were hungry. They were aggressive within the realms of, you know, what the laws dictate. They played good cricket, and Tim Payne stood up to someone who we know in world cricket can be aggressive. We know he can look to dominate, intimidate oppositions or captains or whatever you want to call it. And he stood up well, and he did the right thing, and he backed all his teammates in, and he backed in the Australian public and the viewers. And as cricket lovers, we love that.
I do, and you know what I like with the banter between him and Kohli? I thought Tim Payne's body language was always superb.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't look flustered. He wasn't animated.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like, I'm in control, I'm strong here. You know, and we know he's always been a bloke who's been happy to have witty banter on field. Tim Payne, hasn't he? He's always been forward with that. So, you know, I thought it's, you know, it could have turned volatile on the field, and he didn't allow it from his end. And for the players, I don't know what you thought with the captains that you played under, but when I saw a captain like a Tubby Taylor, who might have been having the worst day of his life, but you would not know, he's just chewing gum.
Yeah.
He's in control. It helped me keep in control.
Well, in that era, Shane Warne often talks about how good Mark Taylor was as a leader. I think he's probably going to go down in history as one of the best Australia's ever had for those mannerisms and that personality, I reckon. So Tim Payne seems to possess that sort of style of leadership, which is great for what we require right now. And it was great. The one thing is that we got to remember is that he's still a professional cricketer, and he's trying to win a game of cricket, and he's going to go out on the field and he's going to try and win. And if someone upsets him, or gets in his way, he's got to get around that. So he's not going to back down from any competition or stoush or joust in the middle of the wicket. He's in there and he's going to fight, as everyone will do when they're in a game of battle to win or lose a test match or any sport for that matter.
Yep, definitely. And also, I mean, he's the first full-time wicketkeeper captain Australia's had. So, you know, to wear those three hats, you know, I think it's been excellent. And to see at the end, just the genuine smile and a bit of bromance building between Justin Langer and Tim Payne is really important. You know, talking to Justin Langer after day three, he said, it's the first time in my coaching experience I wanted to get out there. I actually wanted to get out there and help the boys and show them how to do it. But that's the frustration as you've coached.
Yeah.
That must be the frustrating thing, that once they're on the field, you've got to deflect. You've got to actually delegate to them to get it done.
Well, as coach, your job's done before the test match even starts. I mean, really, that's your job. Your job's in preparation. Once the match actually starts, all you are is reinforcing the messages in which you've given prior to that. So there's absolutely nothing you can do. And that's the hardest thing about coaching. And coming from a player, as Justin Langer has done, getting out there and showing, you know, two youngsters in Marcus Harris and Finch how to blunt a new ball, or, you know, the experience that he's learned, that would be hard.
Yeah.
And he's probably got a youngish group, or he hasn't got the experience of Warner and Smith there, or Michael Clark, or, you know, played 100 tests to get out there and, you know, give advice on how to do it.
Yeah.
So I can understand his mentality about that, and that's the hardest thing as a coach, that you have to sit back and restrain and let it unfold. And then and then they're the teachings and learnings you can then go after the match.
What'd you learn?
And then start the process again.
Well, the Indians have been generally fantastic. I mean, they are the number one test team in the world, and particularly their fast bowling attack. You know, talking to Justin Lang again, you know, the acceleration in the cricket education of Marcus Harris and Travis Head to pick the two younger guys in the team, it's going to accelerate them tenfold. And they've already had promising performances in this series, but I just love if both of them could get 100 either in Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah,
I think they could kick both of them into that straight away very good test match players and two fines of the summer.
Well, the thing is, it's all about timing, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, timing is so critical on a test match selection, where, you know, you can come in and you can get up against an attack like this, an Indian attack, which is good as ever. You can come up against the West Indies attack, which is absolute junk. And, you know, I'm just pointing, pointing it out that an Adam Bogis.
But what advances you
Travis
quicker,
Head,
though? Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, one's good for confidence, but one's good for, well, this is the best.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to come up against Sri Lanka. You've just sort of got to get through this test match as a, you know, test match series as a debutant. Yeah. Play four or five, hopefully cash in against Sri Lanka, go to the Ashes, weather some storm there. Yeah. And, you know, that's how it rolls. And that's why it's difficult. That's why test matches is really tough. There's not a lot of let up. But back on to Harris. He looks, I don't think Victoria are going to see him for a long time. I think he looks fantastic. He looks like a true professional. You know, he just looks
a test open.
Yeah, he's a bit of a left-handed Michael Slater, isn't he? That, you know, he looks aggressive at the crease. He's tight on his defence when he needs to be. You've hit the nail on the head.
He'll hurt you.
He looks like an opener.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. That's the differential between him and Finch. Those first 15 to 20 balls, he's just used to it. Whereas Finchie, it's a little bit of a struggle. But once he gets past that, you can see the results there.
Okay, we're going to go with this segment, raise the bat or raise the finger in the first test match. So we're raising the bat to great performances in the test match. I just want to start with Nathan Lyon. Man of the match, 8 for 106. He's up to 334 test wickets now. So he's
fourth on the list, isn't he?
Yeah, Warney, McGrath, Lilly, Lyon.
Yeah.
When he started his career, would you be thinking Warne, McGrath, Lilly, Lyon? And also the positive for Lino as well. He's got a batting average in this series, 76 now.
We're definitely raising the bat to him. And look, it feels wrong that he's going to pass a legend like DK Lilly, and you don't see Nathan Lyon as that legendary status. But
see, I don't see as much as you know, they're teammates of mine and love them, Warney and McGrath.
Yeah,
Dennis Lilly's still just
he's A grade, isn't he?
Over them, those two, because he was my idol.
Yeah, and
there he is,
and you know, an unbuttoned shirt to show. Basically, he could have had a belly button ring, DK, and you can still see it on
it's almost down to there.
That shirt. That's, you know, it was amazing. Everyone just loves that with a gold chain flocking around, wiping of the brow. That's just legendary status, DK Lilly. But Nathan Lyon, raising the bat with bat and ball. What a phenomenal performer this guy is, yeah.
In the field as well. And just the first two dismissals in the second innings, you know, there was rough outside the off stump created by Stark and Ishant Sharma, but it's actually, that obviously being Warne for on the danger, so it was wider than Adelaide. Yeah, you know, it wasn't quite in as good a position, but he bowls, that was the best Vijay, look, he bowls Vijay through the gate, you know, through the footmarks. Then Kohli's worried about the footmarks, and then it's the one that hits the crack and just goes straight on. So he's a threat through the inside edge gap.
Yeah.
And he's a threat to hit the outside edge, which off spinners aren't always, particularly one who doesn't bowl an arm ball.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure why. I'm probably because they're more conventional, but I feel the English have probably got more of an idea to counter him, only because they play those reverse sweeps and laps and so forth, whereas these guys are more playing with the wrist through the mid-wicket.
Yeah.
And
that's a good point,
Nathan Lyon just hasn't given any width. No drives, no cuts. He's just phenomenal at the moment.
And he lets you go, hit through the cover if you want. And Kohli did that brilliantly a couple of times.
Yeah, only a few times,
only him,
though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was never quite there, and just he's got beautiful wrists and hands. But the other guy, Pujara, even, you know, he'll run down and generally just block it. Rahane's busier.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
They just look like they haven't got an answer, and that's just a testament to how well he's bowling. But just on that Perth wicket, when you're facing any off-spinner in the West, you're not worried about any footmark. All you're thinking is, I've got to cash in here.
Yeah.
Because
bounce, that's about it.
Yeah.
But also at Perth Stadium, which we are raising the bat to as well. I just think at every skill got a chance over the 4 or 5 days. It was Dr. Jekyll and Hyde at some stages, you know, like that chamois spell, you know, that they were hostility off a, like it was just short of a length. It wasn't a bouncer length.
Yeah,
you know,
how do you explain that? And then but doesn't
they
do
were,
it.
They were, two of the dismissals were with an old ball.
Yeah.
I can explain the Khawaja one with a new ball.
Yeah.
And then nothing really behaved like that again, but no Fremantle doctor.
Yeah, how did that feel?
So
when you were out there in the middle, with, you know.
Yeah, it swirls around a bit like the G. So there's a bit of respite. Remember the doctor would come in and they'd cool you down.
Yeah.
But for us outswing bowlers and for off spinners wanting to get drift away from the right-hander,
it's
taken away.
Well, that's no good. So anyway, those little Ken McClay outswingers then won't work at this particular stadium.
Scary. Sean Carey.
There's a few of them actually that have gone there.
What about another raise the bat? Usman Khawaja, who in Adelaide just couldn't hit the ball off the square. Looked that way in the first innings. Now, this is not going to be a highlights package innings for Usman, but 72 in the second innings. Like, if he'd seriously got out for single figures, I reckon we just lose that test match.
Yeah, definitely. If they're only chasing 200, we're in all sorts of trouble. So once that got inflated, it just took time out of the game as well. And it probably allowed those tail enders just to cash in the back end from a tiring attack. So important. That was a great innings. A testament to Usman that, he just weathered the storm and he probably didn't get fazed by the critics of the first test, where he was very laborious in that innings. And like it was like pulling your eyelids out. But this was an innings which was required of that patience and that stability. So raise the bat to Usman.
I just think the mojo, just watching him in between balls, it looked like he was back to just doing his own little routine and not worried too much. A guy who, it's hard to come up with different superlatives like you've just used for Usman is Kohli's 100. It was amazing. He's 600 in Australia. I think he's scored the second most for a touring player. He just looks like, even in the second innings before he got out, he looks like he bats on another pitch.
Mm. He's just at a different level, isn't he? He's got to the stage where he's a bit like, the legends, the Ponting, Tendulkar, Bradman, and probably about another 10 other people, where you've just got the stage where you're probably just above that level and there's no other level that you can actually test yourself at. So he'll just go on an average 55 for the rest of his life and that's it.
But that's the one thing I do like about him. You say there's no next level to go to, but he doesn't train or prepare like that. You see that, he'll get the sidearm and face it like from 3 metres away. Is scuffing at the other ends for the footmarks, even though it's not a pitch, he'll go down the other end and start facing spinners there. So, he does set elite standards for himself. So it's not surprising how much he dominates at international level.
Yeah, it's not surprising at all. He's a driven machine, and he's probably the driving force to India's success, actually, because...
And the next era of Indian batsmen, do you think?
Well, I don't know, because, I reckon Test match cricket struggled for a bit in India whilst IPL entered, when they won that World Cup in the T20 World Cup.
Let's focus on the white ball.
Yeah, and then I think it's switched back a little bit now, only because I reckon this guy's, Kohli's got a driving force to track down Sachin Tendulkar and these legends and be the best ever Indian cricketer that's ever produced.
And within that, do you think, and also for India to be number one in the world in all three forms?
Well, I think he's dragging the level up and he's expressing to the rest of the group that, hey, I want to be number one in all these. And with me, I want you guys to come along for the ride. So we want to be number one in all three forms. It's a bit like Pat Howard's theory, 1-1-1, but... Yeah, this guy's just leading...
Any update on Pat Howard's role?
No, not sure, actually.
Have they asked you yet?
No, actually, no. No.
Okay, we'll move on then. Raising the bat, Mohammad Shami.
Yeah.
6 for in the second innings. I thought he was really unlucky in the first innings. He's come across, with a fine reputation. And the one thing interesting that the umpires were saying, they feel like the Indian quicks get more bounce than the Australians. Now, they're nowhere near as tall as the Australian quicks, and particularly Shami. He's probably the smallest. But he releases over the top, and he had that Mr. Hyde spell that we just talked about, where the ball was scary. It was actually scary.
I mean, you must like watching guys like this bowl, actually. I didn't think he'd be this good, actually, Mohammad Shami. Just from what I'd seen in the IPL, where he goes at 10.5 runs and over, and He's progressed in the last year and a half.
He probably doesn't have the varieties of the other guys in white ball cricket, do you believe?
Well, true. Yeah. I think he just got sold for about 4.5 crores, which is, it's probably $900,000. But not surprising, because I think that if he pitches the ball up and he moves it with pace with a good bumper, I think there's still some future in there. Yeah,
he's accurate.
I'm surprised at how accurate he is. I didn't think that the Indian team would be this accurate. And it's just a great... this is why test matches are good. When both sides have got good bowling units, that's when test cricket is good. Australia versus South Africa is the best to watch because you've got Steyn, Morkel, Philander, all trying to knock people's heads off, and it's the vice versa for the Aussies. Stark, Hazelwood and Cummings... It's great to watch.
You start talking like that, Hodge, and the Fast Bowling Cartel annual lunch that we had, dinner, you may be getting an invite. Well, you can become an associate member. You could become
Swedish
member of the Fast Bowling Cartel. We're going to talk more. And also, I'll talk about Kohli's captaincy in a sec, but Bumrah was still probably the best fast bowler in that game.
How unlucky. Patrick Cummings is unlucky. I mean, he must have whizzed past the outside edge of Virat Kohli 12 to 15 times. It's such a fine line. One ends up, goes to get 100, and the other one ends up with 1 for 20.
Oh, that's the beauty of test match cricket. But that's what I'm going to raise the bat, actually, to a bowling partnership, Patrick Cummins and Nathan Lyon, when King Kohli comes out and whips Joshy Hazelwood through the leg side a couple of times before, off-drives him, takes on Mitchell Stark. The change of bowling partnership, he's off to a flyer. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. They tightened it up. They obviously backed Cummins against Kohli. Got him a couple of times. Bang short of a length, about that fifth to eighth stump length. And then every now and again he throws up, which Kohli's nicked a couple of those. Yeah. And Nathan Lyon against King Kohli, that's just an unbelievable battle.
He's bunny. It's saying, I think he's up there. He's on about seven or eight dismissals now.
The most.
And they're, I think
there's bowled to him a lot too.
Yeah, well, true.
Do you take that in? No.
Well, I mean, you got to go on strike rate, I guess, don't you, to work out whether you're a bunny or not. I mean, Courtney Walsh was everyone's bunny. It only took him 3 balls to get him out. So we'll probably have to do some homework on that and see how many balls it takes for Nathan Lyon to get Virat out to say he's actually his bunny.
Okay, we've gone the positives. We're going to go to raise the finger.
You're out.
For some less than positive performance. Yeah. We need to start straight away with the Aussies. Pete Hanscom at number 5. We've done a poll question about him, which we'll talk about later on. But for Pete, once again, it was a couple of starts, but I think it's the dismissal in the second innings is what it reconfirms the perception about where his feet are going. I thought he actually moved into the ball better in Adelaide than he had against England 12 months before.
Yeah.
But this test match, he seemed to get stuck on the crease again.
Well, he's probably in Perth already made up his mind. He's probably going to play more deeper in Perth than he would. So a lot of the guns actually do change their game to play a little bit more on the back foot. I mean, even Finchie did that, opening the batting, probably just to get on top of that bounce. That, you know, as a southern or eastern player, to go over to Perth, it is drastically different. And it is a mind-boggling exercise to get it right. When you don't go there and you're not in a good frame of mind, it's really hard. So you probably come up with a method in your own madness to go, I'll just play deep to give myself an extra time to see the bounce. You know, if you push forward and you just hang it out there, you're in trouble. So I think for Pete, I mean, he's definitely raising the finger. He's under the pump, there's no doubt. But for me, it's more the execution. It's not actually his technique. I mean, that execution of that two cuts, or their cut shot in Perth, the cut shot there trying to...
But they're not actually cut shots. No, they're actually not. Collapsing back leg.
Yeah.
And you're hitting slips, catches. You know what I want? I want cut shots.
Well, that's just
and
the
even
brain
Travis
fight.
Head to a degree, this collapsing of the back leg and coming from down up, the balls are only going to go over, isn't it? And Tim Payne played a cut shot a bit later on. I went, God, that's one of the first Australian cut shots I've seen this series. Can we bring back the cuts?
Well, I'm not sure why you're not actually playing a cut, or why not playing or executing as well as you should be, because I reckon I've got 15,000 runs playing a cut shot.
If you're already too far back and you're collapsing a bit, you can't really come back and cut the ball, can you? If you're nice and balanced and you go back and you go to play, you're in a position to play the cut shot.
Well, maybe we should get back to Pelly's book and have a look at those textbook things.
You how know, to play.
Where you get the back and across. And look, maybe we might need to get a Christmas present to some of these cricketers and go, there's the old-fashioned textbook.
Ian Chappell, Cricket My Way.
I know it's a changing world, and we adapt to the new changing world, but we need to get the basics.
But you know
right.
that the recommended retail price for that was $2.99 in 1973. It's $852 now.
You can't make...
Can these blokes...
Well, maybe. I'm sure they can. They're on lots and lots of money. But you can't make pancakes without flour and eggs. So get the basics right.
And a cut shot.
Yeah, and a cut shot as well.
Raise the finger. Indian openers.
Well, they just look like shot ducks, don't they? I predicted K.R. Rahul to be outstanding in Australia. I thought he was going to do
the... If they were the wickets from 4 years ago... He'd be banging them.
Maybe. I still think they're pretty good wickets. I mean, he's an opener. You're going to get challenged with a new
any
ball.
Any nibble. I don't like him with any nibble whatsoever.
No, he looks vulnerable there, doesn't he?
BJ actually looked better in the second innings and got knocked over. He played straight. You'd see the sponsorship of his bat.
Yeah, I just think that one of the greatest advices that I got late in my years... I was listening to Ponting actually, and I'd always struggled to play the in-swinging left-arm ball, and I tried to play it to mid-off, where the ball actually sneaks
out.
So I still feel like I'm showing the full face of the bat, but the fact are the ball's moved in.
No.
So Ponting said you have to play that ball to mid-on.
Yes.
And you're actually presenting the full face. I thought Murali Vijay made that mistake. It was a lovely delivery, don't take any away from it. But if he had played that ball to more mid-on, he wouldn't have missed it.
No.
So that's a little bit of technical stuff for your kids out there or
but
even
you generally
adults.
Want your openers to have good techniques, good defensive techniques.
Yeah. So, any sort of in-swinging left arm, you've got to play it towards your defensive mechanisms.
Do you open up your stance a little bit?
Little fraction, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because you've got to get access to the ball.
Beauty, we're actually doing coaching tips now.
We are.
The finger, the selection of Umesh Yadav. Last test match, you got 10 wickets against the West Indies. We know they're not the best nation going
in
India.
Probably 4 against Australia.
But he looked like he was still releasing it for reverse swing.
Yeah.
You know, you drop it down a little bit. So his pace was down a bit. And then also when it did swing, it was swinging straight from the arm. I spoke to Bhuvi Kumar. He was fit. I thought he would have been unbelievable with the new ball because he swings it both ways there. Also, he strengthened their batting lineup at number 8. Or they could have played, someone like Jadeja as the spinner and also you strengthen
him. Who knows? It might have been a friendly selection where Virat Kohli captains Umesh Yadav in RCB IPL. So it might be a friendship call there.
Could
don't
be.
Know. I don't think so. I think that if you've got to promote someone that takes 10 wickets in his last match, regardless of conditions. I actually thought Umesh Yadav would have been an absolute handful on this wicket.
Nightmare.
A guy that normally bowls high 140s and swings it. He just looked pedestrian and
generally swings it late. You know when he gets wickets in the IPL with the new ball, they're swinging late. And the hard thing is self-regulation at international level. But that's where I think that's where the bowling coach there. I don't need a bowling coach to come to me and change my action totally.
Yeah.
But I need him to come up and go, hey mate, we're coming out of one days. You're bowling wide of the crease because in the one days when it's not swinging, you obviously want to angle in and not get cut. But this is a test match, mate. You're just wide of the crease at least. Oh, thanks, bowling coach. So with Yadav, I'll be hoping their bowling coach within a few overs goes, look at his release. He's releasing at about 10 o'clock. Hey mate, you've got to get back up to 11, 12 o'clock for that release.
Yeah.
You're too flat.
So tell me also is that just a byproduct of someone sitting on the bench for the last month or so, and then comes off, gets an opportunity, and he's just not fine-tuned?
Yeah, it's one, he couldn't self-regulate himself. His cue isn't going, okay, this is not a reverse swing. You know, this is my release for reverse swing. This is my release for new ball swing. And then does the fast bowling coach know his cues? Because he would have been bowling a lot in the nets.
You think so?
And you go, gee, he's a bit flat here, or it's swinging from the arm. Yeah. Okay, we're going to get him a little bit higher here. So I think it's a product of both.
Well, they already had ball speed. I would have thought Bhuvaneshwar Kumar would have been an absolute nightmare for our openers in particular.
Because their opening spells, Bumrah and Ishant Sharma, have been just okay.
Yeah, they haven't been dynamic.
And then
they've
worked themselves back in brilliantly, though.
Well, that's a cost from that test match, that first hour, actually. You know, if it had been 3 for 60, they're probably winning that
Which
test Bhuvie, match.
Which Bhuvie, I reckon, would have. Because he bowls full. And he swings it both way, but he doesn't change his action too much, does he?
And what he does do is he gets Finchie out a fair few times in IPL. So that's another.
I think they missed one out there.
Haven't said that Umesh did that as well. But
raise the finger, Kohli Cam. His captaincy. You know, I think we've talked about his field placements, the in and out a lot there, but his use of Bumrah, who I think's going as well as any fast bowler in the world. That spell late day three, frightening. Then day four, ready to go, Bumrah. He didn't bowl. And Khawaja and Payne got through that first session.
Well, I mean, captains make mistakes. I thought Australia made a tactical error when Nathan Lyon didn't open the bowling in the third or fourth day in Adelaide, actually, I think it was. And then you're probably then reactive to that. But surely when the game's on the line, you've got to chuck it to your premier fast bowler. And where was the... He must have been in his mind the vision what he saw the day before, which was an absolute nightmare for our batters. This guy's one of the hardest bowlers to face. He's weird. He's fast. He's got a slinging action.
Bouncy.
It's bouncy. It's fast. It swings. It moves. Everything as a batsman you don't want to face, and you're happy for him not to bowl. So
I reckon it would have been relief to those two Aussie batsmen.
So, I mean, I think you're saying here Sunil Gavaskar ripped into him, did he? And a few Bollywood legends.
Yep.
So
saying it's on him and Ravi Shastri. If they don't win this series after being 1-0 up, they're calling for heads to roll.
It's a fair call, actually. I mean, got to remember, though, is that to win an away series is extremely difficult. And it doesn't matter whether you're a good side or not. I think before Australia,
well, you've got to be
Australia hadn't won one for haven't won one for six tours.
I don't even know.
So
I can't even remember.
We even drawn against Bangladesh.
They were at full strength though.
Yeah, they were actually, and they're a good team. But
so just with Kohli and the captaincy and leadership, we saw footage of Ishant Sharma and Ravi Jadeja going at each other. And I just wonder if that's a product of, you know, would that happen under a Tubby Taylor? You know, does the captain allow that to happen? And then my second question is, Ravi Jadeja, he's 12th man. Why is he having a go at the big... We love Ishant Sharma.
We love him. He's bowling
well. His efforts are unreal. He's bowling well. Why is the 12th man? And then Mohammad Shami, who's bowling really well, he has to split them. What's Jadeja doing? I blame him.
Well, they've lost the plot. I mean, absolutely. What is Jadu doing? And finally, good for the Australian press to get it out there as well. Usually it's us that get that that rubbish. But
Aussie camp.
Look, I'm gonna put something out there. Is this a byproduct of Kohli's changing behaviour once he got 100? I didn't see anything like it. He didn't sledge, he didn't get any verbal in Adelaide. And once he got his 100...
I got the Bicky points back on.
He's comfortable in his environment now on the big show. And I think this is a byproduct of...
Runs.
A changing attitude. Getting runs under your belt. Yeah, I don't think he would have done this or this wouldn't have happened. He still would have been calm. Still would have been, I'm struggling. I know what it's like. It's a tough tour. It's hard work out here. I'm not criticising. I'm just questioning whether... That 100 changed his attitude and also the changing of the playing group. But Ravi Jadeja, get out. Get back there and do what I'd had to do for 14
He's
tests.
He's not even playing.
Just ask Ishant Sharma whether you want red or orange or water. Pane. It's simple. Field the ball and get off.
Hodge, I reckon you've nailed that.
Come on, Bihari.
Hey, mate, what about the BBL started last night? What's your thoughts of the overall... We got asked our predictions from Seven Cricket.
Yep.
Really hard. There's been so much swapping of teams.
Yeah.
I've got no confidence in my predictions.
No, besides,
I think Strikers and Scorchers will be up there. I don't know about the other six.
It's a lottery, isn't it? I mean, that's...
Who's injured?
Yeah, that's a big...
Who's going to get picked for Australian One Day Cricket? I'm excited, though.
Well, that's the thing. When we're asked, we probably didn't know that, Finch and Harris were going to get selected for Australia. So that changed,
that's their opening, changed the
dynamic of that. When you think about the Stars, Nick Maddison, he's ruled out for half the tournament with a broken arm when we get asked. Who knows? You never know whether Nathan Coulter-Nile will get an opportunity for a test match. There's so many unknowns over the course of this period. But I think we're pretty similar, Scorchers, Strikers, Renegades, Stars, Heat, 50-50, whoever plays well is going to get
there. I don't know.
No, I don't know either.
So that's a good competition. Just what about last night? The Brisbane Heat up there, 146. The Bash Brothers didn't totally get going, but Linney, 33 of 20. Geez, he hit a big six off Billy Stanlake.
Oh, massive. And when you're going to... Yeah, I mean, that's what he's out for, isn't he? And the thing with Linney is that he will... His mentality is that anything with ball speed, he's going as hard as possible because he knows that his strike rate against spin is such a lower level that he has to catch it up. And that's smart batting. That's playing to his strengths.
Also, I'll tell you what, though. It puts you on the back foot as a quick, too. If I don't execute right, he's going to hit me back over his head for six or over mid-wicket for six.
Well, you know straight away that he's going to try.
Yes.
And he's going to continue to try until he's out. So, I thought that one thing showed up is that the Adelaide Strikers have still got a serious weapon in Rashid Khan. And you can chuck Rashid Khan into any cricket match and you're going to be close to winning it.
But he could be the best T20 player in the world. Man of the match, 3 for 19 again. His fielding's amazing.
No, he is.
As well, but he just dominates T20. I mean, I think he dominates all three forms.
And he is the best player in the world, or the most important player in the world. I think him and Andre Russell are the two prime T20 players in the world.
You have both of them, you're flying.
Well, I mean, fair credit to Greg Blewett, who was the list manager at the Adelaide Strikers. Prior to that, I think we said we needed a spinner.
Yeah.
And we all, no disrespect to Liam O'Connor, but the year before that we had Liam O'Connor.
Yeah.
And Greg Blewett was around with the Australian unit.
Spin just dominates.
And, he said, let's get Rashid Khan. And they got Rashid Khan. And you can clearly see the difference. So well done there to Bluey.
And even last night, interviewed after the game, he said, oh, straight away stock ball. My leg break wasn't turning a lot, but my wrong one was. So I knew straight away my wrong one was the big weapon. It just sat in the crease, in the pitch a little bit. So I had to make sure the leg break or the toppy. It's not Warnie, is it?
No.
Mitchell Johnson. We'd be quicker,
Yeah.
I want to get through there, and then I've got the wrong one that I know is going to turn there.
Well, look, I mean, the facts are is that the Heat have never been outstanding against spin anyway, so...
It's a note from Cricket Australia. The Domain Pink Test starts in just 2 weeks.
Righto.
Australia and India will battle it out at the SCG, plus the first ever Pink Village something.
Okay,
so just reply to that after this podcast.
It's not come and have an interview for the high performance.
No, and you're not getting paid to be in the village either. It's actually just saying, as a fan, are you happy?
Surely I'll get free tickets.
No, this is a generic text from Cricket Australia, Hodge.
Thanks.
Thanks for your double 100.
That's where it's at.
It'll be $29.95 if you want to hang out at the Pink Village.
Righto.
Hey, what about controversy? James Pattinson, run out or not run out?
Well, I must admit, I didn't see it. I heard all about it.
Oh, okay.
I can't comment on whether it was out or not because I was actually at my son's graduation till 10:30 last night. I have taped the Channel 7 broadcast. I'm going to go.
You'll watch that before we're on tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm a nuffy for sure. I'll have a look at it and do my homework. But one of the things which is interesting, I don't know. I'd like to know whether it was out or not first, but he's been called back.
So
it mustn't be out.
The only thing was, he's diving and whether the toe of the bat was in the air at the start. But after that was through and then half the bat had landed,
right,
you pretty much know he's in.
Yeah.
So then it was given out and then Ricky Ponting's going, surely he's pushed the wrong button.
Right.
Greg Davison, the third umpire.
Okay.
But no, it stood. So for the reversal to happen, I think striker's own and Bowlology Report's own, we need to chat to Ben because he listens to us. Benny Lachlan went to the striker's captain, Colin Ingram. You know how we can get through this?
Yeah.
Withdraw our appeal.
Really? See, Benny's a cricket nuffy.
Yes.
And he would know that law would stand.
Just withdraw the appeal and let's get this game going because they could even see on the big screen.
Is this under our new elite honesty policy?
Elite honesty.
Because if this was 5 years ago, no. you'd have been told there, off and go.
No,
see you later, Jimmy.
Do you think Benny's still looking, aspiring for Australian?
Yes.
Does a little bit of elite honesty, and Justin Lang goes, I'll have you. You can play in our T20 team.
Look, it could be two things. It could be Benny Lachlan just trying to be, doing the right thing for the game, which could be, or looking for that Australian selection, but that's also known as arse licking.
Yes.
From what I'm been untold, but we love Benny.
Sometimes doesn't hurt.
No. It hurts every now and then. That's why I probably only played 6 tests, but maybe I should have done it a bit better. Lesson for all you guys, all girls.
And kids.
But you know what I'm going to tell you about this, though?
No.
Now that this has been done,
yes.
If there is any dismissal that is blatantly on the wrong side against the strikers, they have to...
Elite honesty.
They have to
withdraw the appeal.
Yep. So that, to me, that's... It's opened
up a grey area.
It's not grey.
It's not like our
They've made their decision. So if there's a dodgy LB or anything against Rashid Khan or whatever, and you see it, you've got to go, come back, son.
Yeah.
It's a bit like...
Yeah, I like how you think. Yeah.
You snot out. They're here to see me, buddy.
Yeah.
Put the stumps back in and away we go.
That was WG Grace. But,
oh, yeah. Who did I say?
I do like...
did I say the...
Warwick Armstrong.
Yeah, I did say. Sorry, ship. Yep.
The big ship.
The big ship.
The bat flip. It happened.
Yeah.
History was made.
And what did it come down?
You know what? I don't even know. It might have been roofs. What was your... You know,
well, it was
you
roofs did that, or flats.
You know how you did that scientific...
It was 60-40 roofs.
60-40 roofs. No, I think it was roofs again.
Well, there you go.
And you know who tossed the bat? Or he actually just let it fall out of his hands?
Some kid.
Hayden Way. The big dice was there.
Really?
Yeah. He's the bat flipper for the Brisbane Heat. But then he had the Brisbane Heat shirt on, big one, because he's barrel-chested. Yeah. Then he's wearing tight jeans, like Fabergé's 1988. But I could see his ankle. What's going on there? What sort of fashion statement is that?
It's been raining up. He needs to go to the Mitchell Johnson. He needs to get 25% on Mitchell Johnson's line. There you go. But, you know, what's interesting is that he obviously didn't listen to our podcast because we sledged the bat thrower has to go to a bat throwing school. Get the trajectory up above the head.
Well, you were getting smashed the way you were throwing
Absolutely.
It. And most people go, mate, you've got to get it up and spin.
Yeah.
But
Ados
obviously doesn't listen to our podcast. Or if he does, I'm expecting a bit of a phone call.
That was his melon, you know, after he got smoked there on the...
Actually, they didn't do close-ups.
Okay.
They didn't do close-ups.
Righto.
They did close-ups of his ankle. What? Fabergé's. Hey, Hodge, your debuting tonight. It's the Renegades versus the Scorchers. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous, actually. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah. Who are we going with? Brayshaw, Fleming?
Yeah, Brayshaw and Fleming. So, yeah, I've been drafted into the A team. Sam McClure is there. Look, there's a bit of a surprise leading into the broadcast.
Well, even I don't know about this.
Look, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'll have to go through my old pre-game routine, you know.
What was that?
Oh, I have to jump in the pool, smack down a couple of Diet Cokes and go out there and see how I go.
Well, I reckon if you commentate the way you, when we had you mic'd up as captain, you're just going to be a superstar.
Well, let's hope so. So we'll see.
We'll see. Women's
give us some feedback on it anyway later on.
I'm sure we will next week. Women's BBL, the ladder, I reckon it's only down to 5 teams now.
Yeah.
The Sixers and Thunder, Heat and Scorchers in the top 4. Mm. Melbourne Stars 5th. The other teams are on 1 win. So I reckon it's down to 5. But what about yesterday? You talk about the growing power of the women's game. Grace Harris hit 100 of 42 balls.
It's unreal.
Hit 6 sixes. She brought up 100 with a 6. You know, they rope it in miles. It went over the fence.
Oh, look, it's Look, I mean, this product itself is growing dramatically. It's a really cool space for these girls to be in. You know, you can see from year on year, the quality is going up and up and up. And
wow.
I don't think, I think 100 off 42 balls. That's ridiculous. That's amazing.
I tell you, he's not happy, yeah.
Who?
Ash Gardner.
Oh, Ash
Gardner. Had the record of 47 balls. We know how hard she hits it.
Yep.
She will go, that's my record.
Well, you got to track
it. I'm going to break 40. Can Ash break 40?
Well, she can. Isn't that what Afridi did? Because he lost the record and then he tracked it back down again. Was it 100 off 36 balls in test match cricket? And he got it again.
Oh, was it one day cricket?
No, was it one day cricket?
I think it was one day cricket.
You might be right, actually.
He was 12. So he was 12 years of age.
Well, we're going to throw it out there from the Bowlology report to Ash Gardner. We're going to give you 12 months to try and track this down.
Under 40.
Yep. So don't worry about your coach. If you say you're getting out cheaply or going too hard, just say it's from the Bowlology report. That's your goal. That is it.
You're sponsored by us.
Yep.
Okay, IPL, Hodge. It's always a great time, isn't it? Everyone's going, oh, can I either be a millionaire or not get a cent? There was a few Aussies that were retained, but I think there's only been two picked up so far.
There was two. There was Ashton Turner and there was Moses Enriquez. Two pretty good buys, actually.
Two very good buys.
Yeah, I think one of the things for Ashton Turner is if he's bowling, that's a pretty important thing for him. Sorry, Tara's just taking a photo of us here, and why not? We're two good-looking roosters.
Maybe one of us. But
and Moses Enriquez, who he's gone to my old team, the Kings 11 Punjab, and a seasoned campaigner, done well over there, knows the deal. Good
the
cricketer,
man.
Good head on him. We love him. And Ashton Turner, I think, is... I said this a couple of shows ago, that I feel that Ashton Turner is one of the best leaders, thinkers of the game, and will be in our T20 World Cup side ASAP.
Well, I think it's only injury that has stopped Ashton Turner progressing into the grand goal.
Well, I think he's just started bowling now.
He speaks fairly well, too. Oh, he's
we love
got
the
it.
Way he speaks.
He's also one of those ones, we're going on a tangent here, you know, just watching Jono Wells last night, not a power hitter,
no.
He just scores and he sweeps against spinners. I think you keep talking about it. We pick the Aussie teams, we pick probably six people to bat one, two or three, but some of them have got to bat five and six, they're not used to it. But this Ashton Turner, he's a guy that can come in and hit sixes straight away. Like, he's a 25 off 10 ball, number six and seven.
Yep.
And if his spinning gets going, he's very accurate. And he's good in the field.
He's my vice captain, second to Finch there. But look, there were some big numbers that went down in the IPL. Jaydev Unnikat, who got sold for 11.4 crores last time.
Yeah, but he had an average IPL this year.
See, this is the luck and fortune of it. Because there are only slim pickings of left-arm seamers, Jaydev Unnikat goes for 8.4 crores again. There's a guy named Varun Chakrarti.
So he bowls smorgasbord, everything.
He's a mystery spinner.
Mystery.
And he apparently has got eight variations.
Yeah.
And I asked...
So you can't bowl them all in one over?
No.
No.
So anyway, he's gone for 8.4 crores again. Sam Curran, English player, has gone to Kings 11 Punjab for 7.2 crores. So well done to Sam. That's partying down there in Kensington Hotel for drinks on us.
Is his bowling T20 friendly?
No, it's not at all. And this is
small. The Curran's are small.
Well, someone said it's more his batting, which might be an attractive appeal. He played well. The facts
are,
he's
got a great test record.
When you do well in India or against the Indian side,
you
tend to get inflated results. So that might be one.
So what would I have gone for when I got Tendulkar eight times in a 3-year period?
Well, you would have been 15 crores.
What, how much is that?
2.7 million.
I thought they'd be calling me Steve Austin, the $6 million man.
Maybe. Oh, that one. Yeah.
That one.
That one I was before.
No,
I was only Stone Cold. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Colin Ingram, the sledgehammer? He's not the sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer. Doesn't he put it?
Not Bone Crusher. Is it?
Some hammer.
And he's some hammer.
Not MC Hammer.
He went for 6.4 crores to our friend Ricky Ponting's team.
Yeah.
So what I'm funny if
he also brings a bit of leadership. I like the hammer.
Ah, yeah, leadership, is he?
Yeah. I watched him in the Pakistan Super League as well. Right. You just know what you're getting.
Okay. Yeah, he's a gun player. Carlos Brathwaite, 5 crores. Axel Patel, 5 crores. So there's a lot of money thrown around. But all in all, yeah, some weird and interesting stuff goes on there in the IPL. And sides look pretty cool.
Hey, mate, just quickly, I put out a poll just early this morning. So we got a nice little 600 votes. Only went for 90 minutes. Who will bet... I said 6, but it can be 5. Boxing Day for the Aussies, Peter Handscomb or Mitchell Marsh.
Yeah.
Guess who they went with?
I think.
And who would you go with?
I think Mitchell Marsh seems to be the favourite at the moment.
52%. Pete's still in there, 48%.
Yeah. Look, the only thing I'm really nervous about for Pete is that the Justin Langer Mitchell Marsh relationship. I'm not saying there's going to be some favouritisms, but it has happened in the past. And there's been a lot of negative talk about Peter Handscomb, and that can weigh down, and that can not influence your selection, but you hear external noises within the camp. And
how much will maybe batting on his home pitch, you know, does Pete get another 2 innings?
I don't think it's got to do with that.
Or will they look at the pitch knowing that, you know, if there's any brownness to it, it's going to be flat, so do you actually play an all-rounder as well?
Well, it depends how much Mitchell's going to bowl. We've seen him come in before and not bowl a ball.
No.
So that's a bit of an issue. One of the things I'll say is that people are also reluctant to change after winning formulas.
Yep.
So, you know, good vibe in the dressing room and then move on
to
the next test
match. He took 2 very good catches.
Very good catches. But
Pete Hansen.
One person told me once in the IPL, we don't pick you for catches or runouts.
Just get runs.
Pick you to make runs, buddy.
Who was that?
It was the owner of the Rajasthan Royals.
Okay.
Yep. He was pretty straight to the point.
Pretty straight.
Fair enough as well.
Yep. Fielding doesn't interest us. Hey, thanks for your tweets as well. Matt Healy, why aren't they considering Glenn Maxwell? Sam Murphy's mate said, well, what about Stoinis? He brings bowling to the attack as well. Ruben Pinto, both suck. Toss a coin and pick one, I guess. Okay, so a big fan. What about Alex Carey, Paul Pickford? And what is there? A lot of love for Maxwell and Stoinis. So for that next spur. And sorry, Joe Burns getting a lot of love as well.
Yeah, well, Burns will continue to push pressure on there because he's a traditional opener. And whether they do want to move Finch down the order or they're happy.
Yep.
So you got 50, you've got to leave it as it is at the moment.
Jared, 28. Payne, 6. James Pattinson, 7.
Yeah, James Pattinson's an interesting one because, look, the problem is now is the scheduling. There's no actual shield cricket to actually look at the form and go, you know, so now we're on T20 form. So you've got to look prior to that as a selector and then go also, well, he's still hitting the ball well in T20. So tough for a selector to get it right now or make household changes because we're just not in that phase. We're in big bash phase, and it's a great phase, and it's the best. But I'm not sure you can get selected on T20 form.
I saw Sean Marsh. He got a 99 against the Renegades and got slotted back in for Indian Test. I think he'd done a hamstring really badly. I think he scored 17 runs in 8 innings against them in that series. Hey, you know what time it is. This is the reason all these celebrities have stopped tweeting and texting Bieber. Even Greg Norman, one of our favourites, I reckon he's been a bit quiet.
Very quiet.
Leaderboard at the moment on the Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Michael Clarke first, 22. Mitchell Johnson second. Shane Watson third. Brett Lee fourth. And the reigning champ, Greg Norman, fifth. But Hodgie, who have you got for this week's Social Media Self-Promoter Award votes?
Well, this week... it's a shame Greg Norman has been very quiet. He must be off.
I think Christmas will get him excited.
Look, I'm going to go straight to the top. It's a newcomer, and Travis Head is coming to the fray here. He goes, can't wait for the At Strikers BBL boys to start tonight, catching all their moments on At Key Sports or Keen On Sports or whatever it's called. The thing is with Travis.
Yeah.
He's not even playing. Not but playing. He's got a picture of himself playing in, like, he could have put Ben Lachlan or...
Like, Rashid Khan.
It's just, that's just, we know, Trav. That's self-promotion at its best. This is nasty, but there's someone called the Bowlologist.
Hey.
Snuck in. And it's not cricket related. That's why I've snuck this one in, which I'm really disappointed about. Or not disappointed, but you've made your way.
I've got no idea where you're going here.
Ideal Christmas present at TaylorMade Oz, New Zealand. I mean,
who did that?
Well, someone did it, and they're promoting a new putter for TaylorMade.
The spider.
So I'm going to go and check your...
It's a beauty.
I'm going to go and check
your bag. It is an ideal Christmas present.
Well, that's what you've said. And what I loved about this...
I tried to sneak it through too.
What I loved about this is that our good friend Ben Lachlan, who loves the Biology Report, is gone, what? Question mark. So he's replied, just a big fan. With the, you know, what's that
Dr.
movie?
Evil.
Dr. Evil, that's it.
1 million putters.
Yeah, so he knows.
he's on to me. I've tried to reply.
He's on to you.
I said, mate, no, they're just really good.
Righto, this one is X-Stars, now Hobart Hurricanes, Australia, Lancashire, Rajasthan Royals player, Gujarat Lions player, James Faulkner. Get down to the At Fat Fish Bar and Seafood over the summer period and try the new fat mess.
How? That's in. Is it in Hobart or something?
It's in Hobart.
How do we get down there?
Well, we
is
don't.
Is he going to fly and a jet?
And we're not even going to bother. And I know why he's doing this.
Why?
Because he's got a slice of this action.
Exactly.
We know you, Jimmy.
We know that you know. Forks, can you keep... real close tabs to Forks, because it's getting the BBL.
Yeah.
He's been very quiet. I reckon he will get up the leaderboard.
Yeah, he will. He will. Shane Warne, still very active at the moment.
No spin.
There was three, I'm not going to pinpoint them out, but there was three promotional exercises about no spin. Just photo of himself with the books, hashtag Dimmicks, hashtag no spin. But more to the point, there was another one, hashtag Advanced Hair Australia Christmas Party, just with him and his bosses there. So well done, Warnie. So
that helps.
Yeah.
That helps tick over that contract. Contract
exactly.
Coming up.
What's he get for it? 250 large?
I've got no idea. I'll ask him. He's in a different world to us.
He is different world. Ryan Sidebottom, the left arm bowler Yorkshire.
Good bowler.
Has made a...
He
hasn't cut his hair. He didn't do Movember either. But it's all getting very real and mega exciting for Ryan Sidebottom.
Oh, this is building it up.
To be part of this iconic show.
What show?
At Dancing on Ice. Please support me, blah, blah, blah. Ryan, let your...
Don't dance on ice.
No. You're a fast bowler. Let your skates do the talking like Virat did with his bat.
Yeah.
Point to the bat, you point to the skates. No need to do that.
Virat didn't really live up to what he promised, though.
Nah.
Because he actually did a lot of talking.
Yeah, he did, actually.
But true. Ryan, no, don't. That's B-grade stuff. The normal dancing, whatever that's called, what Vaughnie and Ramps and
Goffey
have been in. Is that just Dancing with the Stars or
Dancing
something?
Dancing with the Stars, that's it.
Yeah, but but there's a good platform for that.
Well, maybe Sidebottom's trying to get this promotion out there to get on that show. So this is the B grade.
Mate, I'm in with the media crowd, and then once you... That's like playing in the VFL.
Yeah, okay, well...
And you're overage, you missed out, no.
Lesson learned for him. And look, this next one, I don't think it's even going to... I'm not sure it can be topped, actually.
I'm excited. You're excited.
I've got to get it up here so I can read it out perfectly. Ooh. And the nomination is Shane Watson, who has been very active of late.
And we're coming
into
BBL
media.
Season, so he'll be prominent.
This is an amazing video.
A video?
It's a video on Instagram. 2019's passion project is barbecuing and getting back on the grill to whip up some meals for the family now that I've got more time back in Australia with them.
Is he not playing in the Big Bash?
He is.
How's he going to have more time?
I have no idea. This summer, I've partnered with at Golden Circle AU for its Get Out Camp Out campaign. Visit www.getoutcampout.com.au for some great camping tips. Hashtag GC Partner. And the reason I'm going to sledge this to the life flame.
Yes.
I've never known anyone to enjoy five-star luxury more than our friend Shane Watson. He's never camped in his life.
If that's Matty Hayden or Andrew Simons, we're halving the votes because yep. they are hard men that live on the land.
Yep.
Does he live on the land?
No.
You know when I hear Golden Circle, you know what I think? Pineapples.
Yeah, I think pineapples.
So what are we doing? Watto's not barbecuing pineapples.
Well, he's barbecuing some rissoles, which I'm pretty sure that
like
he wouldn't
circle.
Even eat them anyway. But
nah, you're
look,
right
this is
that.
A sickening effort from Shane Watson.
Jeez.
And okay. if you want to be home with your family, mate, stop taking money around the T20 world.
Yeah.
Just stay at home. You're already rich anyway. Yeah. You're loaded.
Just budget on two, not four anyway, tournaments. But
check
if
it
I
out.
Can just get your... So, votes quickly... Travis Head, just a sneaky one. I'll go two there. Myself, yeah, that was pretty shameless, really. I'm going to give myself five. So hopefully Benny Lachlan, I think he called for six, but I'm going to go five, Benny. James Faulkner, wow. And he's involved in it.
Yep.
And you're trying to go, yeah, this is really good.
It's big.
If he wasn't involved, how good... And wasn't getting freebies. What would he?
No, he'd go and have a six. Meal of the Drunken Admiral because yeah. that's the best. From
six
what
for
I
him. Warnie, just six. You know, three times two.
Yeah, good one,
Brent. Warnie, you're doing really well this year. And Ryan, that's a bit sad. That's four votes. Get yourself off the ice and to the winner for this week, and then I reckon he's going to shoot into the top five. We'll get that up there. Shane Watson, there's 10 votes. You're not a man of the land.
No.
He likes the finer things in life. And you don't cook pineapples.
Wait till Thunder Nation comes around. God help us all.
That is the Bradley Hodge Social Media Self-Promoter Award. Okay, that's pretty much it. We've got a book review.
We have.
Book review. In between Cricketer Light World Series Cricket. We've got Dizzy's. We might do that. And a Tomo one, which is great. I'm going with the Gloves of Irony. Rod Marsh. And Backers had heaps of books.
Yeah.
This one's more around the early 80s. And there's no sort of blurb. That's the thing that's interesting for me. You know how he gets, you know, normally they get famous teammates going, couldn't put it down, greatest book I've ever read.
Yeah.
And you know they didn't read it. And there's no blurb from the publisher either. Lots of great photos, like he's, you know, tackling a naked spectator.
That's awesome.
And someone said, you know, he said something, the softest hands I've ever seen
it's
you
not
have,
the
Backers.
Book, is it?
It's not thick because he's not
too
retiring.
Busy cans with DK.
He's not retiring. So this is your, you know, like he likes a beer.
Yeah.
This is your wedgie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your hedging beer.
Got it.
But just before you go, like, there's some quotes in it, and it's great because this is the early 80s, so there's underarm. There's him and Dennis betting on the test cricket and winning in England. Dennis kicking Javed Miandad.
Yeah.
And then, what is it? But imagine if you said this, if a current player, Bradley Hodge, said this in a book while you're still both playing. Geez, yeah. I hope I get to it soon. So this is 81 England. I thought what might have happened if Hughes had not played a stupid hook shot when the Poms had two men stationed out in the deep precisely for that stroke. Christ! This is what Backers said. Christ! A captain is supposed to lead by example. What Hughes did would have been an example for a kamikaze pilot. So, but they're both still playing.
Amazing.
But imagine if a player just said that about that. So I love the honesty of these old books.
Well, that's exactly what it is. What's happened is that I reckon Justin Lang has read The Gloves of Irony and gone, that's the most elite honesty that you could ever have. So he's...
There it is.
He's stolen this trademark
from
Backers.
Well, do you think he might have bought 11 copies of this and given them to the Australians to read?
Or so, they're both from WA and...
Justin might have been
in the Wacker library reading about the Gloves of Irony and come across this and thought, that is the most elite honesty I've ever seen.
Now, you coach...
Imagine Tim Payne going up to Travis Head going, writing in a book, what was stupid shot was that? Dashing away out, throwing off stump. There's only one dismissal you can get.
What do you said? Cripes.
Cripes.
he coached you at the academy, Rod Marsh.
He did. He was brutal on me. He didn't take a liking to...
Well, he's brutal on his current captain. Yeah. As if he's not going to be brutal on some mad 18-year-olds.
Some smart-ass little punk from Victoria. He wasn't too fond
so
of...
So what was he sizing up of a young Brad Hodge?
He was... Look, well, Ricky Ponting was there as well, who was clearly the... You know, he was the favourite.
The alpha.
And why not as well?
Yeah.
But, no, I was roommate with Murray Goodwin.
Yeah, Muzza.
And Muzza used to get me in trouble all the time. And he used to blame it on me. And I'd go to speak to Rod and Rod go, no.
And Muzza, would he find it funny blaming it on you and getting you caught?
Yeah, he did. But one of the best things I heard about the academy was Google Gilly. So Adam Gilchrist was at the academy and Rod was clearly the boss. And he went out with someone. I can't remember who it was. Might have been McIntyre or someone like that.
Aussie Mac.
And they went out and had a big night, and Rod knew about this. He knew everything, whether he'd gone out, and they had training that day. And Gilly had soldiered through it, got through it under extreme duress. Anyway, Rod on the Sunday afternoon said, oh, boys, you two just fancy, I wouldn't mind taking you out today.
Oh, I love it.
So
straight
back to his joint, just plonked the cans on the table.
Razor blades.
And absolute razor blades. And continued the pressure. Pressure until Gilly spewed all over the floor. So he just spewed up all over the lounge room of Bacchus's house. And Bacchus just raised a smile.
Yeah.
He'd achieved what he had to do. So that was a great, that's gold. That is
the gloves of irony.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? He's devastating dozen at this stage. He's our favourite 12 of all time. Bill Laurie.
Yeah.
Stumpy Laird.
Bruce Laird.
Opening up there. Ian Chappell's his captain.
Yeah.
Greg's his vice captain. Alan Border, Doug Walters, picks himself.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
That's self-promotion.
Ashley Mallett's the spinner. Graham McKenzie, fast bowler from Dennis Early, of course. Jeff Thompson and Ian Redpath. Redders we love there. But one little chapter I did enjoy, it was about Lenny Pascoe. Actually, there's a fair bit of Lenny in this one. They're called Slipterisms. Among his other achievements, on and off the field, Lenny Pascoe invented the slipterisms. Now, the slipterisms are gem phrases from Lenny Pascoe because his nickname was Slippy or Slipter. So the slipterisms, they're a bit like Hoggyisms. You know Brad Hogg.
Or Royisms.
Or Royisms. Yeah. So Brad Hogg, you know, Ricky Ponting tells a story. They're in Sri Lanka, Colombo, and he says to Hoggy, hey, mate, are you going to go out tonight and have a look, you know, with the locals? And Hoggy goes, mate, I've heard about these Colombians. I'm not going out at night. He was in Colombo. And there is a story, I'll get to Andrew Sump, but one of these was, in Jeff Thompson in 1977, Jeff Boycott walks out and Greg Chappell knows what Tomo wants to do, bounce the crap out of him. Yeah. So GC goes, mate, pitch it up, nick him. First five balls are all bounces like that. So Greg's all furious. And then Lenny comes in, he goes, oh, well, to Greg Chappell, you know, you can't expect a leopard to change its stripes. Yes, Lenny. Yes, Lenny. Oh. And the one that reminds me of an Andrew Simons one, Michael Kasprich keeps the stories on them.
Yeah.
Adam Dale's organising a barbecue and he's going around, boys, how many beers do I budget for? Six. And they stop for a while. Then another couple of minutes, say, seriously, boys, how many beers do I budget for everyone? Is half a dozen enough? And Andrew Simons giving up, mate, chip in. I've had enough. It's either six or half a dozen. What is it?
Roy was a beauty at that.
So Lenny's gone with one international match, 81-82. Our manager, John Edwards, who is a real character, asked the Australian players if they mind coming to him individually to pick up their checks. No invoices.
Okay.
You go to him individually, check him up. Then Lenny looks straight him in the eye and goes, wouldn't it be better if we just come one at a time? Boom. Boom, Lenny. The gloves are irony. Rod Marsh, retailed in 82, I think, for $8.99. If you get that under $899 at this day and age, bargain.
Absolute bargain.
Hodge, that's it. Bowlology report.
We're done.
We're commentating tonight.
We have to go to work.
We've got to go to work.
I finally got employed, which is great.
So LinkedIn, unfortunately.
You're out.
LinkedIn people, stop following. Listeners, we've had a heap this week.
Yeah, this is positive.
We're building in the UK, America, Canada, India, they're all up. Interesting. 8 listeners from Panama. And we know that their cricket is struggling a little bit. I do love their captain, Irfan Hafiz. He's a skipper. Emily gave him a massive spray after their last game against Canada. Bowled out for 40.
Yeah. Well, there's work to be done from the Panama or Panamese or whatever they're called. But look, if I'm willing to come over there and operate for $1,000 an hour to help you.
Well, when's their season?
Well, I don't know. I would have thought they're in the hurricane zone there.
So okay, let's do that. But keep them coming in, subscribing, listening. It's been fantastic, and maybe to take us out. We've been going 6 and out. Spoke to Brad McNamara.
Yeah, we might
be doing a exclusive 6 and out.
Wouldn't that
we
be might gold. Get some unlucky. Reunion.
But the man I loved in the test match, Rishabh Pant, particularly when Vihari was bowling. Rishabh Pant, you're a gun. We'll be talking about you. Hodgie, good luck tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Flynn. See you then.
Come on, Vihari. 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 Come on, Vihari.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.